I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket, sponsored by LV Insurance, who of course are supporting this test series between England and India. India now 2-1 up. Simon Mann, you predicted that. You predicted this series would finish with a 2-1 victory for India. There's still one test to go. But on a glorious afternoon at the Oval, they showed their supremacy in the end, I thought.
They were irresistible at Lord's, weren't they, on the last day? And they were irresistible here today. I think the pitch was good enough for England to have survived, but India just a bit too good for them. That spell from Bumrah in the afternoon just shattered them. It ripped the heart out of them, ripped the middle order out, gutted them. And it felt inevitable after that. Once he'd done his worst, as far as England were concerned, he got rid of Pope and Bairstow, castled both of them. I mean, Joe Root tried with Wokes, but it just felt there was just too much time left in the match. I mean, it was 131 for two at lunch. You thought, well, I mean, remember in the old days, Oz, when you started watching Test cricket, if a team were two down at lunch, on the final day, you'd think, oh, well, that game's going to be a draw. But teams, they're not so suited to batting out for a draw anymore. It seems much harder to do now. I don't know why that should be the case. But if you're going to bat out for a draw, this pitch, you should have been able to do it, or at least it would allow you to do it. But India, ultimately today, I think, a really good all-round bowling performance. I mean, there wasn't a huge amount of spin there, was there? What was the key, did you think, as far as India's bowling today?
Well, I think of two things, actually. I thought England were a little bit defensive in the morning. Only 54 runs in the first session, two wickets lost. And I just thought, you looked at the proactivity of Hamid and Burns in the opening stand at Headingley, and actually last night here as well. I thought they were both quite purposeful, had lots of intent. Today they got a bit stuck. Well, obviously Burns got to 50 and then got out, which is a shame because he was starting to look good. Hamid just looked a little bit restricted once they put the fielders back and bowl straight, square of the wicket, because he can score his boundaries square on the offside and ping it, flick it, square on the leg side. But once they put the men back, he doesn't hit the ball in front of square, in front of the bat very strongly. So he's kind of easy to contain. And then Milan obviously was a bit bogged down against Jadeja bowling into the rough. There wasn't much he could do there, but I suppose he could have tried to assert himself. He could have tried to sweep or tried to maybe even reverse it. I don't know. I think England were just a bit defensive in the morning. But to the Indians' credit, that spell after lunch, Bumrah particularly, knocked the middle out of the innings. And 5 days, he's still propelling the ball at 90 miles an hour with a bit of reverse swing either way. And I think that was one of the key things. You say, why don't teams that survive for draws? Well, I think, you know, reverse swing is a lot to say for that, because, or a lot to answer for, because on fifth day pitches, teams are very good at exploiting that. They're not just relying on spinners spinning it out of the rough or whatever. The faster bowlers can have an impact as well. And with DRS, you know, pads, being hit on the pads, it's people getting out, given out probably a little bit more often as well, but the ball's keeping low and so on. So, you know, there's a few factors there, but I think in the end, India's pace, three bowlers around about 90 miles an hour, a little bit quicker than any of England's, probably just told the true facts in the end and just prevailed.
Yeah, I mean, England had a good attack for first day conditions and not such a good attack for third day conditions, whereas India, they did have that extra pace in this test match. England without someone like Mark Wood to perhaps just do something different on that third day. When we look back at this test match, I thought that was the defining day, and I felt it before the day's play. And when you look back, you know, that day when they went from 43 for no wicket to 270 for three, their win was built on that foundation. And Rohit Sharma was given the man of the match award, the player of the match award. And there were some good performances by India. I mean, Umesh Yadav, six wickets in the match. Shardul Thakur, two half centuries, which were really important at really important moments. And he picked up three valuable wickets as well. Perhaps just Rohit, because of his discipline and the fact that he was able to bat long and big. And it was just the foundation that was built for India's victory. So for me, third day was absolutely vital. And I mean, brilliant win to come back from, you know, a 99 deficit. It doesn't happen that often. It's, you know, it's a lot of runs, actually. It's to be 100 runs behind on first innings. But I mean, I think when it comes down to it, I think India just they're a better side than England. Sometimes it's as simple as that. The better side wins, and I think the better side has won this match. And they're 2-1 up in the series. I know it sounds a sort of trite thing to say. You can look at this and that and what have you, but they just have more all-round strength than England.
I mean, certainly Rohit Sharma is an elite player who should have scored far more than his seven Test hundreds and should have scored more than his now one Test hundred outside India. He's the best opener on show. We've mentioned about their three quicker bowlers, quicker than England's. They've got a spinner that's probably better than England's spinner, or definitely better than England's spinner. I suppose you could look at someone like Moeen Ali as well. You know, Moeen Ali has the sort of Shardul Thakur role in the England side. Well, Thakur in this match made 250s and took, you know, a few wickets. Moeen, maybe one or two wickets, but his batting is disappointing. And it doesn't deliver as much as it should. And that actually was where England possibly sacrificed the initiative. They did recover well from 62 for 5, but then they didn't make the most of it. They were bowled out for 299. They should have made maybe 350. And I think Joe Root, after the play, that was one of the things he pointed at. Let's just hear from him for a minute.
Well, I think you look at this game, I mean, it's been frustrating today to lose 10 wickets. But I think actually where the game was lost, or where we could have really stamped our authority on things, was earlier in the game. I think we should have got a bigger lead first time round with the bat. Now it'd been nice to have another 100 runs actually, and then we're looking at a very different game. So I think we've got to be a little bit more ruthless there. Those first innings runs there, I think that really cost us. And as well, our catching, we did put down a few chances. Some of them were extremely difficult. That has to be said, but at the same time, you give chances and half chances to world-class players, they take them. And we've seen that throughout this game. I think it's something that we've got to get better at. I think it's something that we've got to keep looking to improve, and recognising those key moments in games and enforcing it a little bit more. We did it very well at Headingley, and I think we didn't quite manage to do it this time round. So it's something that we've got to be more consistent at. With a lot of other things within this format, we've got to look to be more consistent at a few different things. And I think that mindset, you look at that spell from Bumrah and recognise a key moment in the game and turn the game on its head this afternoon, it's something that we've got to look to make sure that we're doing as well.
Yes, England definitely lacked a bit of ruthlessness in the game. There were the drop catches, and that's a problem for England. I thought their fielding was pretty shoddy. They dropped lots of catches in the match. It was about half a dozen catches. You know, there was the run-out opportunity they had on the fourth day, which they squandered. Moeen, rather than just holding on to the ball for a second, just, you know, giving himself that half second almost to perhaps set himself, and then he could have easily run into the stumps, or even lobbed the ball to Bairstow to come up and take the bails off. There was that moment, the drop catches. I mean, Rory Burns dropped two catches in the match. Rohit Sharma on 6 and 31. And it's been a tale of poor fielding from England. And Joe Root alluded to that, you know, the fact they weren't ruthless enough in the field. And I agree with you, they weren't ruthless enough with the bat in that first innings. You think of some of the casual shots, they really had the chance to sort of nail down 350, another 50, 60 runs, which, you know, that psychological pressure that might be brought to bear on India. So there were missed opportunities in the game. They're just not quite with that really tough head on that India showed today, didn't they? They came out and they were really ruthless today. So, you know, missed opportunities for England in the game where, you know, India were under pressure, 127 for 7, and... But there was one point in the game when they were 200 ahead with four wickets left. But I thought India played it really well. That partnership between Pant and Tucker yesterday, absolutely crucial. And that took India far enough into the distance. And from there, did you seriously think that England had a chance of winning today? I mean, this is a side that was, you know, rolled over at Lord's and has been brittle.
Yeah, I mean, maybe my heart, you know, outweighs my head at times, but I did think they had a chance, actually, because it just looked flat. And, you know, they're starting... Most of the batsmen have made some runs in this series, and I felt with England's sort of lower order, Moeen, Chris Wokes at number 8, they can all bat, Overton at 9, you know, they can all bat. And I thought, actually, if they got a good start in the morning and a bit of momentum going... then they really had a chance. Of course, you know, scoring, what, nearly 100 runs a session was going to be tough. But sometimes, when you get closer to a target, the momentum, you know, starts to pick up and the runs come quicker and the bowlers get disillusioned and, you know, the whole thing, that one side gets inflated, the other side deflated, and you can get those sort of targets. But maybe I was being a touch optimistic. And, you know, India, in the end, just had too much firepower for England and totally deserved the victory. LV Insurance and the ECB's £1 million Fund for Runs community initiative has awarded Stourport Cricket Club with a grant to increase its profile locally within schools and also improve its equipment and range of training via professionally qualified coaches and enhancing their team of volunteer qualified coaches and helpers. They're also relaunching their ladies and girls teams within the Worcester League club competition, and the funding awarded will secure the same enhanced coaching and mentoring scheme to support existing and new players who wish to enter the fantastic world of club cricket. Stourport is a fully inclusive organisation, wholly run by its members and supported by volunteers, and the club is now also working with the local community to welcome non-members to watch the sport and enjoy the social facilities the club offers.
One moment today that we haven't touched on in detail yet, and it came with England at 120 for 1, was the run out involving Hamid and Milan. It's actually interesting listening to different views of it, because some people were blaming David Milan. I saw it as Hamid's fault, really, because Milan was at the non-striker's end. Hamid dabbed it into the offside. I think part of the problem was England hadn't been scoring. I think Hamid was conscious of that and just wanted to keep the board ticking a bit, just, you know, run a single here and there, but it was just a bit too close to Agarwal. And I think what happened was Milan, he was quite slow setting off, but I think he was surprised by the call. So there might have been just that fleeting moment that goes through a non-striker's head, which is, shall I say no or shall I go? And perhaps it was just a moment of hesitation. But if a non-striker running to the striker's end has got to dive to make his ground in a test match, you see it in a white ball game, fair enough. If you've got to dive to make your ground on the last day of a test match when you're looking to, you know, save the game, stroke, win it in a really difficult situation, then you think that's a really tight single. So, you know, there was miscommunication between the two of them.
That's a good word, communication. The trouble is they haven't batted much together. And, you know, once you have batted together for a while, there's more of a telepathy between, you know, batsmen, and they almost don't need to say anything. They can just set off. But when you haven't batted together for long, it's, you know, not that easy to see the body language and interpret it in the right way. But also, I think that, you know, because England was slightly defensive and because Milan was struggling a little bit against Jadeja, he probably wasn't thinking quick singles either. He was thinking, actually, I'll stay down this end because it's a lot easier. I'm battling against the left-arm spinner. But what they should have thought was, you know, they should have talked at the beginning of an over, before an over started, saying, you know, we do need to get a few more quick singles. Let's be on our toes here. But I'm sure that wasn't said. Otherwise, Milan would have been ready and probably would have.
Yeah, been well, to me, it was a tight one, and the blame goes with Hamid for that. I mean, you don't want to, you know, be totally down on a player who's, you know, trying to make his way again in Test match cricket, and he made 63 today, and they put on 100 for the first wicket and gave England an excellent start. But Hamid, you're right. I mean, he did become becalmed in that first session. He only scored 19 runs in that first session. I mean, England were talking this morning about, you know, just take it steady, see where we are, wicket preservation, see where we are later in the day. And I suppose at lunch, 131 for two, they just actually felt like 20, 25 runs behind at lunch from where they would want to be if they were seriously going to consider 368. So, I mean, I felt at lunch that the win was out of the question. It probably was always out of the question. And then you had that dramatic session. I mean, 4 for 6 in six overs, the middle order ripped out. Joe Root and Chris Wokes battled away, and as ever, Yoz. I mean, Joe Root is the key to this England batting lineup. And you sent while he was still there, there was a possibility of a dramatic England escape. But is that man Shardul Thakur again, who probably wouldn't have played in this Test match if Ravi Chandranashwin had played? But, you know, what a good game he had.
Yeah, he did. And I kept arguing for Ashwin to be picked. Of course, this victory will just put the kibosh on any likelihood of him coming back for one game, won't it? Because they've done it with the four seamers and Jadeja, and the Thakur's runs were vital in both innings. And, you know, it's arguable whether Ashwin would have made that many, although obviously he has made Test hundreds in the past. But the architect of victory today, as much as Jadeja's excellence and accuracy, was that little thrust from Jasprit Bumrah. We give him the In With Heart award today, LB Insurance's In With Heart award, mainly for that incisive thrust and just actually the skill and the sustaining of his pace, because he burst through Ollie Pope's defences with a bit of reverse swing at 90 miles an hour and kept that going through two or three more overs in mid-afternoon on the fifth day of a Test match, when he's bowled a lot of overs on other days, and off that kind of nondescript or, you know, almost non-existent run-up as well. A brilliant delivery to knock over Johnny Bairstow, in-swinging Yorker, shades of Wasim Akram or Wacko Yunis bowling here at the Oval for Pakistan in the 1990s with that late in-swinging Yorker, which was really difficult to play and absolutely pinpoint accurate. And then he was giving all the other batsmen a hurry up after that as well. So Jasprit Bumrah, for me, only two wickets, but two very important wickets, not the stuffing out of England. And, you know, no kind of major award for him today, but certainly lots of credit.
Yeah, six overs, three maidens, 2 for 6. That was his spell. I mean, that doesn't sound a great deal, two for six. I mean, it's obviously important in the context of the match, but it's not sort of dramatically eye-catching, but you had to be here to appreciate, I think, his impact on the game, and then suddenly England were totally on the back foot. What happens from here then, Yoz? I mean, were England beaten as they were at Lords, 151 runs at Lords, 157 runs here, India, you know, similar in a way, that last day's irresistibility and England's batting brushed aside. What do England do for Old Trafford? What sort of changes are we talking about for Old Trafford, if any? Joss Butler coming back into the side, that's a possibility, depends if he's available. And then what do England do with their bowlers? I mean, it seems to me that the batting will be pretty much the same, unless they bring Butler back, of course, and then they've got a decision to make about who they leave out. What do they do about their bowling attack? Is 4 days enough to recover between Test matches?
I think they have to play Mark Wood. And actually, I think, you know, we were talking about Bumrah there. I think Wood could learn a lot, and probably is learning a lot, from watching Bumrah bowl, because he just goes through different phases in his bowling spells where, you know, he does line and length and he tries to move it a little bit one way or the other, and then perhaps later on in innings he goes for the Yorkers and the tries to get reverse swing. That was helped by the fact that Jadeja was chucking it into the rough the other end, scuffing the ball up. So, you know, how those two sort of work quite nicely together. But also then towards the end, roughing up the tail, bouncers and the odd good length ball, trying to get the edge still. It's still got that kind of potency and hostility against the tail without going for anything too extreme. And I think the way Bumrah handles himself, those different phases of bowling, can really help Wood, and that's the kind of things that he should be looking to do himself ultimately in a test match, well, over a test match innings, is to be able to adapt his pace and his aim and his length to the different conditions and situations. Batting-wise, it's just got to be a bit better, hasn't it? I mean, if Butler comes back, I don't know. I think I'd be inclined to keep Bairstow, but he's only got 150 in the last year or two, you know, few innings, and he hasn't really converted, has he? But neither has Butler. So it's sort of, I don't think you lose or gain massively if you just replace Bairstow with Butler, but I'd quite like to keep Bairstow. I think he's good, but then you can't have them both of them. So it's a tricky one, isn't it? Maybe Butler won't be available. I'd like to keep Bairstow in this side, personally, and just replace maybe Overton with Wood.
Well, one aspect is, you know, is Josh Butler going to be available for Australia? And I mean, whether he's made that decision or not, I'm not sure. I mean, it's so much up in the air about, you know, what sort of conditions are the players are going to be living under in Australia. Can they bring their families? And if they can't, then who's going to be available? And, you know, if Josh Butler is not going to be available for Australia, then does he automatically come back into the side? Anyway, that's something for the selectors to sort out in a very short space of time, actually, because the next game is on Friday, and they'll have to pick their squad pretty quickly.
I mean, is it about Butler's mindset? You know, where is his mind at? You know, he's someone who, you know, is a very strong family man. He's had the second child. Is he ready to come back? I mean, I think he'll be honest about it. He might not feel quite ready. And I think that, you know, more and more in the modern game, selectors and captains and so on have to be more sensitive to this kind of thing. Players, if they're not in the right mindset, it's not worth having them. You know, someone else has got to play instead. Butler, you know, is a very important character in the England setup, but, you know, unless he's totally focused on it, he'll be the first to admit it. If he's not quite right, he'll say so.
Yeah, and there might be a scenario as time goes on, I mean, there's a T20 World Cup coming up, whether after that T20 World Cup, it might well be that Josh Butler replaces Owen Morgan as England's white ball captain. It's possible, and that Butler then just focuses solely on white ball cricket and almost gives away Test cricket. Anyway, that's a possibility, and we'll see how that plays out in the next few weeks and months. I suppose it depends how England go in that T20 World Cup. There is another one next year in Australia, and then there's the next 50-over World Cup, you know, a couple of years away as well. What about Old Trafford, Yoz? I mean, we don't know what the conditions are going to be like, but it has been quite dry recently. What about a sort of slightly left-field pick? What about Matt Parkinson playing at Old Trafford? Was that too much of a wild card to suddenly sort of come in from the outside? It is his home ground. He bowled well in some of the white ball matches earlier this summer. We can see clips on social media of him playing for Lancashire, ripping it, you know, spinning it from leg to off in championship matches. Is that too much to ask? Is that too much of a wild card suggestion?
I think it's a nice, quite romantic suggestion. I think it's probably pretty unrealistic.
Well, you know me.
You're not very romantic. you're quite pragmatic. And that is left field from you, actually. I personally can't see it. You know, last Test of a series, absolutely crunch game. Making his debut against a team who are very good at playing spin. Just can't see it. You know, the seamers have done the job for four tests until this Indian second innings. So maybe just need a little bit of an additional bit of pace, and Moeen Ali is getting better slowly, and he's got Coley in his locker now, hasn't he? So I think I would stay with the same spinner for the moment. I can't see Old Trafford being, you know, ripping it around. And anyway, you know, who knows what the weather's going to be like? It might be cool and a bit damp. You know, wouldn't be Manchester if it wasn't cool and damp, surely.
No. So basically, roughly the same side, just play better and hope you can do what you did at Headingley. I mean, this team, pretty much, well, not exactly this team, but you know, roughly this team, one match ago in the north, beat India by an innings at Headingley, bowled them out for 70-odd in the first innings and turned them over by an innings. So, I mean, this topsy-turvy series, we don't quite know what's going to happen next. You know, it's all, we said after the last game, you know, don't get too high when you win, don't get too low when you lose. So it's possibly a question of that. But anyway, fantastic for India. They're 2-1 up with one to play. Clearly now they're favourites to take out the series, and that would be a major achievement for them to win in Australia and England in the same year. But you know, as we saw, as we've seen over the course of the series, things can change very quickly. But England, I think, have got to be hoping that a few of those tired bodies are rejuvenated in the next few days, because and they're a little bit thin, aren't they? I mean, Saki Mahmood, for example, he's someone that's been in the squad. He might have come in for his debut on his home ground. There's another who could have come in, but he's injured. He's got a side problem, so he's out of it as well. So, you know, you talk about the replacement options, there aren't stacks. And there's Sam Curran who could come back. There's Mark Wood who could come back. But it's all of shuffling the pack a little bit, really. So it's probably roughly the same. Just play better and take your chances, take your catches, make the most of your big moments. Don't fritter away your wickets when you're in a strong position.
Send them a list and they'll tick them off one by one. Anyway, it's been a great test match. It's been a tremendous advert for five-day cricket, which I've obviously not always been a proponent of. I've really enjoyed it, and let's just hope that the fifth test is as good as the fourth. Well played, India, and all to play for now for both sides in 3 days' time. And we'll be back to report from the first day of the Old Trafford LV Insurance fifth test on Friday.
Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.